the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Well, Rick, I thought for Christmas you would give me my name first.
Oh, you know, okay. Everybody, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio with Karen Frazier and her co-host, Rick Hale. This is officially the Christmas show.
That's right. And you have big Christmas plans, Rick?
Actually, we do. Tomorrow night, my wonderful family will be coming to our house. So, they'll be closing down all the meth labs on the way over. And let's see, Christmas Day, we will be going by her family, which is always a lot of fun. And it's great because this year, you know, this is going to be their first grandchild.
That's right.
Theodore. So, you know, they're, of course, really looking forward to it.
So does he have a little Christmas outfit all picked out? Does he have little red velvet pants with the bow tie or anything?
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Of course he does.
Well, now okay, here's the thing. My wife works with this woman. She's, you know, one of these really super lame type people who wears the bells and all that on their sweaters. So she sends these socks in the mail, and it's so difficult to describe them. It's like, here's the sock, and then there's these little frilly things around it, and then the head of a snowman.
Okay.
Jamie opened this, took them out, and I said, my kid, I better not see my kid wearing those socks, because those will immediately make him lame, and he and the future greatest paranormal investigator will not be dressed lame.
Yeah, Tanner got some pretty lame clothes when he was born, too. And we put him in them to take a picture and send it to the person who gave it to him and then donated them.
Yeah.
So I understand. So did you feel that any of the clothes that I sent were lame?
No, you know what? They were great. I just thought it was really funny when I opened it up and, you know, here's the Paranormal Underground onesies and the Paranormal Underground bib. I'm like, how come my kid gets free swag and I don't?
Oh, well, because you're supposed to pay for your own. Because babies are like crack to women, and their dads are only like crack. Well, never mind.
You know,
I'm not even going to finish that.
I was talking to a woman that I worked with that I work with last night when I was at work, and I told her, I'm like, Theodore is going to get a job when he's 1 year old. That's all there is to it. Labor laws be damned. That kid is going to work right away. As soon as he's able to talk, he's working.
Well, that's good. If you teach him sign language, he'll be able to go sooner. Just a thought.
You know, yeah, what we were talking about. I think that's actually a really good idea to teach a child that. So
Definitely. So, hey, let's talk about the people that we're going to have on as guests tonight in about 7 minutes, because Cheryl has given us a rather detailed schedule this evening, as you recall. And so
yes.
At 6:13, after we go to break, we will come back and we will have Alpha Paranormal with us. And it's a great group. Scott Tepperman from Ghost Hunters International is part of the group, and
you almost said Scott Tenorman.
I know, I was trying really hard because I see Scott in the chat room, which means he's listening, and I didn't want to call him Scott Tenorman because that, of course, is the dude from South Park.
So Scott, if you're hearing us right now, don't piss her off, because she might just chop up your parents and put them in chili and serve them to the entire town of Chehalis, Washington.
Chehalis. That's right. So did you get the Twilight brochure that I sent you?
Yeah, I did. Are those like legitimate haunted areas up in that?
Some of them. Mm-hmm. The Klondike is one that we investigated. It's actually the brochure that I sent to Rick is from St. Helens, Oregon, and they filmed part of the Twilight movie there. And so since Rick has a thing for Robert Pattinson, I thought that he might enjoy those brochures. And so I sent him the brochure from St. Helens, Oregon.
Okay. People, you know, the 10 people that actually listen to us, I don't have a thing for Robert Pattinson. He just needs to wash that hair. Oh my God.
Rick wants to wash that man right out of his hair. So, okay, you ready for my awesome segue?
Yes.
Speaking of Christmas, we have a new sponsor.
Oh.
Just in time for Christmas. So Cheryl, do you have the ad?
So does that mean we're finally going to get paid?
Mm-hmm. You can awesome. Count on. All right, Cheryl, can you play the ad?
Oh, no. Are your Christmas decorations missing something? Are you tired of competing with the guy across the street over who has the best lights and always falling short? This year, you don't have to worry. With new Extra Strength Bud Dazzle, you can decorate inside and out. You take care of the lights, we'll take care of the shimmer. Extra Strength Bud Dazzle is the revolutionary sparkly red and green decorative candy that lets you eat glitter and shit Christmas. This year, you'll be the envy of all your neighbors. Feed it to your dogs and have them decorate the neighbor's yard.
What the hell happened to our glass?
Play jokes on your friends.
Ooh, is that glittery fudge?
Even give them a stocking stuffers.
And this package from your Aunt Mildred stinks. Do you think she wrapped the cat again?
How much would you expect to pay for all this Christmas cheer? Not $100, not $50, not even $25. No. Extra Strength Bud Dazzle can be yours for only two low, low payments of $9.99. But wait, there's more. If you order now, we'll throw in a special
more.
Christmas Vajazzler. That's right, your wife can be Santa's little helper this year with the sparkly Vajazzler.
Dude, your mom got vajazzled!
And if you act now, we'll also include our special Santa cookie kit. If your gift from Santa last year fell a little bit short, tell him how you really feel with the Extra Strength Bedazzled cookie cutters. That's right, you can eat glitter, shit Christmas, and then bake special cookies for Santa. For two low, low payments of only $9.99, call the number on your screen to add a little sparkle to your holidays.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Or Cheryl Knight, apparently.
Hey, I had to play the disclaimer, but it was a little funny. I laughed.
You know how some families gather around the Christmas tree and the piano and sing Christmas carols?
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, this is what we do with our teenage sons.
I'm going to get me some Vajazzle.
Merry Christmas!
I apologize for that. Trust me, I've had a rough couple of weeks, and I just
Why are you apologizing?
Well, you know, we may have lost a few people listening with that.
There's nothing like good comedy.
Yes, and that's me, comedy, coming right at you, right?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be here all week. Try the veal!
Oh, so, yes, we certainly didn't send that around to grandparents or anything because, you know, they would much prefer hearing the children playing their musical instruments, but that's what we force our children to do.
So this is going to be the new sponsor for the show from now on or just for tonight?
This is just tonight.
Oh, okay. So then we get paid for that then, right? The low price of $9.99?
$9.99. No, that's what you pay if you want to order it. So, you know, just saying.
I think you guys will sell a lot of that vajazzle.
So anyway, that was it. So Cheryl, in the 2 minutes, it's probably like 1 minute and 30 seconds before we go to break and come back with Scott Tepperman. No. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Scott Tepperman.
It's Tenement. Okay, it's Tenement. And Alpha Paranormal.
Alpha Ghost Team. Yeah, we're going to come back with Ron,
let's
Bill,
talk
and
a
Scott.
Little bit, let's talk a little bit real quickly about the magazine.
Okay.
You have like about 45 seconds. Go!
Well, we have the December issue online right now. People can check out. And that features some cool stuff about Gettysburg and paranormal activity that goes on there. We'll have the January issue online probably at the start of the second week of January, and go to paranormalunderground.net to check it out.
All right, so with that, it is time to go to break, and we will be coming back with the Alpha Ghost Team. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com.
And Vajazzle.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ZTalkRadio.com.
And we have returned to Paranormal Underground Radio. I am your host, Rick Hale, and as with me always is the lovely, talented, and incredibly beautiful,
and slightly twisted,
sexy Karen Fraser.
Karen, Rick wants something.
Wow, you're going for it. Is your wife not in the room? Because you need to be saying those things to her right now. She just had a baby.
I know. No, it's cool. It's fine. I explained to her last week about the difference between joking on the air and my real personality. I mean, I'm just like the most boring person on the face of the planet when I'm not on the radio. So,
I'm slightly more hostile in my real life. Yeah. Hard to believe, isn't it?
No, not really. You kind of got that look. It's a look around the eyes that just says, "I will effing kill you if you mess with me."
Well, that's probably right. But hey, our guests don't need to worry about that. So guys, no worries.
No worries, guys.
So Rick, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests for the evening?
Tonight, we will be joined by the Alpha Ghost Team, which of course is not Scott Tenorman, but Scott Tepperman, who has recently been seen on Ghost Hunters International on the sci-fi hit show. They also host Dead Serious Radio, and apparently you guys are really into karaoke and do Tears for Ears. Hello? Seriously? No, I'm just messing with you. Hey guys, welcome to the show. How you doing? We got Ron Bordner, Scott Tepperman, and Bill Corrales. How you doing, guys?
Doing good, thanks.
Excellent.
How you doing?
So we're going to, before we get into the interview, we've decided that what we really want to do is hear a Tears for Ears performance.
Oh, yeah.
And so you sent one to Cheryl, apparently, which is, I hope, not a mistake. No, it'll be lovely. And it's the Tears for Ears version of the song, the heart song, Alone. So let's take a listen to your vocal stylings.
Paranormal Underground.
look at Hearth and Family again.
There you go.
Is it over?
You're welcome.
That's a wrap. Oh my gosh, you guys! I get the Tears for Ears name now. That is ridiculously awesome. So here's my question for you:
I will never be the same.
How much do you have to drink before you get to that place that you'll stand up in front of people and do this?
Honestly, you know what's really weird is we drink zero. That's just natural. Extroversionism, whatever. Yeah.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. I think that maybe you should use that on some of your investigations, because I think it might get a response.
They shut me down so much with karaoke, especially Paul and Chris. They really, stop it before it even gets going.
I don't know about the tears, but my ears are bleeding right now. From sheer joy.
So should we talk paranormal, you guys, or we can keep talking about this, because like I say, that was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome. Man. Thank you.
My mullet is so long right now.
Well, what's funny is that one of the places that we investigate here in the Pacific Northwest is Robert Lang Studios, and Hart has recorded there. And so I'm thinking of taking that up to Robert Lang Studios and seeing if we can get a remix. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
All
you guys
right.
have been discovered.
That is crying for a remix.
Oh, so hey, let's talk paranormal. So I was reading the article that
there is nothing more paranormal than that music, man, because it is definitely above and beside the normal. Okay, proceed. Okay.
So anyway, I was reading the interview that you so kindly supplied for our December issue. Great interview, by the way, guys. Thank you so much. And one of the things that immediately jumped out at me were your thoughts about demonology and demons. And so I would really like one of you to expand on that.
Ron?
Yeah. No, go ahead. You guys there?
Yeah,
go ahead. We're waiting.
Yeah, I mean, as I said in the article, my opinion about demonology and just demons in general, I've never experienced a demon. I've never met anyone who's experienced a demon. So my whole take on the whole demonology field is that I really don't buy into the concept of demons. Mm-hmm. I think the whole field in and of itself, demonology, is played out. I can open up a phone book now and find five demonologists just because they just slap a label on themselves. Mm-hmm. But the whole concept I really don't buy into.
Hmm, okay.
Okay. Now, does that come from, years of careful research, or?
That comes from research. That's come from articles I've read, people that I've met. Most of the people that I meet who are speaking about demons being in their homes or seeing demons, mm-hmm. They're really of the religious mindset. They're really religious people.
Yeah.
And I think that someone who is that religious and hardcore in it automatically places the label of demons on anything that's even remotely paranormal, quote-unquote.
Right.
So even if they do have a legitimate haunting in their homes, and the spirit may be malevolent in nature, they slap the label of demon on it, even though it's just a spirit with an attitude.
Okay. Go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, I will agree up to a point. Not being a Christian myself, I don't really believe in the term demon, but I do think that and I'm going to ask you, do you think it's possible that, there are such thing as, interdimensional spirit parasites?
Personally, I don't know. I mean, that's a little bit too new agey feel for me.
No, not really. I mean, Philip Bambrogno, who is actually he's a physicist and a chemist by trade. You know, he's done quite a few investigations and, you know, discovered that, you know, it's possible that these demonic entities that people are dealing with could actually be part of the whole idea of string theory and quantum physics, that they're able to cross over from their dimensional field into ours. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I can't really comment on it because I don't really know too much about it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So. Fair enough.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say with demons, I wouldn't necessarily be quick to dismiss them as, you know, people over-exaggerating things or blowing things out of proportion. I do think that in early years, long, long time ago, that there were people that had been misdiagnosed as being demonically possessed or whatnot before the the concept of schizophrenia or mental illness had been discovered and actually titled and labeled. It was easy just to dismiss all these people are different there, whatever. In my experience, we've dealt well. I don't get ahead of myself here, but with Alpha, we haven't really dealt with any flat out demonic cases. Mm-hmm. Even with GHI, I think that they might have dealt with a few, but I know that one for a fact that we dealt with when we were in Nicaragua was the underground prison. I don't know if you guys saw that episode, it aired in the summer, but it was a serious, basically a priest apparently brought a little girl had been possessed, and he brought her back to the site of where she was possessed, and he basically exorcised her, and the spirit, it almost looked like, the way they described it to us, this girl vomited up some kind of a mass, and the thing obviously formed and went right into the walls where it was before. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out why they would do that and send it back to the exact place, but that was the only case that we dealt with, and we dealt with, you know, actually people on our crew getting sick, people feeling weird, and that was a point even I said, okay, guys, this is different than other cases. You need to be very serious. You need to ground yourself. You need to whatever. So that was a little wake-up call for me. Excuse me. That being said, I do believe that people can get, quote-unquote, possessed, but I think that a lot of times people will possess themselves. People, they do have that mental illness, and I do believe when you see these exorcisms of supposed demonic possession or whatnot, I do believe that people are sick. And then if you take normal tap water and you're throwing it on them or you're doing anything that's real basic and, you know, not really using holy water or blessed water or anything else like that, the person is so enmeshed in themselves that really could cure them. And I'm not saying that they're lying or misrepresenting themselves. I do believe they have believed that they're possessed themselves. And I do believe the power of suggestion and all that carries heavy weight. So I believe it's a little bit of everything. I'm sure that there's, you know, you guys know the field of the paranormal is so geek. You have the world of the psychics, you got the paranormal, you've got the other unexplained interdimensional travels and portals and all that. You kind of have to focus on one or two areas at least, which is what we do. We really try to focus on, as Alpha, paranormal research, and we focus on that. So exorcisms and demonic stuff, we're not really that into. We're not religious by any means of the imagination for our group whatsoever. But we think that that works. You know, we focus our stuff on paranormal research, and we know there's a lot of other fields. I know psychics. I've met quite a few, quote-unquote, psychics in my life, and personally, I don't hold much, they don't hold much weight with me, just for the simple fact that it's easy for anyone to say they're psychic. If they learn how to read body language or body mechanics or can really just read a person, they can capitalize on that. That being said, I'm not saying that there's not real psychics out there, because I do believe that. I have met a couple people that have proven themselves to me stuff they wouldn't possibly know. And not that they were completely accurate, but they were more accurate than they should have been. Without knowing anything. So that being said, I do believe people can be more in tune, more sensitive, and more have some kind of a gift, if you will. But it's very hard to separate the fact from the fancy with all this stuff. and we choose to not even deal with that. So that's a whole separate issue for us.
Okay.
Well, that's I think that's fair enough. But you know, I do have this question for you guys. Let's just say you do a residential investigation, and you do happen to come up against, you know, a rather nasty human spirit. You're not like a lot of groups that are just like, well, here's the EVPs, here's a video, here's a really cool picture. We're out of here. Have fun dealing with this thing that's in your home. Have you guys ever used any, you know, rescue mediums or spiritual psychics to, you know, help clear a home?
We, before we joined Alpha, we were in another group. Ron and I were in another group. And we've had instances with that group that we had to put people in touch with a priest, put people in touch with, you know, some religious group, some, quote, psychics, whatever, to deal with that. You know, I feel that if you're not that familiar with a particular area, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But if you try to delve into that and try to do stuff, you could make things worse. So why even bother? We can, the main thing, and I'll allude to what Bill was talking about in the our article in your magazine, when Bill was saying that, which I actually liked what he said, but he said something like, you know, we're more about, it's more, the whole field of paranormal research, for us at least, is rather than just walking in, getting all the evidence you can, people get caught up in that a lot, and they get caught up very easily, you know, about the bragging rights. Ooh, we caught this, or we did that, or we did blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is calling your services into their house because they have a situation, because they're upset, because they're worried, because something is bothering them. So at least explain to them what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, go do a thorough job and be able to say, okay, as far as we're concerned, this and this and this and this and this is going on. Now, this is to our best knowledge, this is what's happening. We're certainly, by any means, you know, this is not the final analysis of stuff. This is what we're finding. We can, however, put you in touch with so and so that we might be able to help you, or we might be able to, you know, point them in a certain direction to finish the stuff that we really are not, quote, qualified to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's really important, and I think a lot of people need to do that. A lot of people want to be the self-contained Superman group. And that, you know, if you can, that's great, but a lot of times, more often than not, that's not the case.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about your screening process, because I know you guys really extensively screen. So can you talk a little bit about your screening process and why you screen the way that you do?
Yeah, there's a couple things, too. We, again, this is the experience of being in a group for 4 years and basically learning the good, the bad, and the ugly from them before we formed our group. And we've dealt with people before that have called us to investigate, and we go to their house, and it looked like, when we saw these people, it looked like their family tree had not forked in about 400 years. a page out of, like, Wrong Turn or Text Chainsaw Massacre. These people were freaking. And, you know, you have to worry about your own safety and your own, most of the groups, all the groups should be out there, not charging for anything. Mm-hmm. As we don't charge for anything whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But it's our time, our money, you know, our gas money, our missed work hours or whatever that we're investing in it. So we really want to make sure that what we're doing is a legitimate case. So our screening process, which we actually have gotten more stringent on since I've been on GHI, because they're thinking, if you guys come out, GHI, so-and-so is going to be there. Well, that's not, you know, that's kind of not the right way to think of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we basically have it's a pretty extensive screening process. We want to know people flat out with, like, are you a habitual drug user? Are you an alcoholic? Do you have mental illness in your family? Mm-hmm. Are you on any medicine? If so, what kind? It's all confidential with us, but helps us put into perspective the kind of case that we're up against.
All right, you know, usually, like Ghostbusters. Are you, Alice, currently menstruating?
Exactly.
Go on.
But it's important, that stuff, you know. And then any modifications made to your property in terms of construction or anything, let us get a little bit of a better gauge on what we're dealing with. Then we'll review it as a group. If it sounds good, we'll usually send one of our members out there to meet the owners and do a slight psychological screening on them to make sure they're okay. And then if they're okay, we'll do a walk around of the property and make sure it can facilitate, it can accommodate, our investigations, you know, so we can set up stuff. We have room to maneuver around. It's not unsafe conditions for us. It's not, anything else to that effect. Mm-hmm. And then if we agree upon it, then we'll set up an investigation and we'll hit it with everything we have.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
So talk about everybody's role on your team.
Bill?
Hello?
Hello?
Did we lose you? Oh, okay, there we go.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here. Basically what I do is I work under Ron and Scott as just a field investigator. Basically what I do is when we're out in the field doing investigations, you know, after we get through that whole big screening process, you know, I'll assist them in whatever needs to be going on there. When we're actually on an investigation, I basically do a lot of, a lot of screening about, doing base readings with the EMF meter, with the thermal scanner, just getting a really good idea of the whole property, what we're investigating, and giving them good ideas of where to stay away from in terms of, EMF fields and whatnot and on top of that with photography, seeing if there's any undesirable places to take pictures as well, to mm-hmm. To try to avoid false positives when we're out there, and you want to come up with quality evidence, and you really got to look out in different areas and make sure that everything's ideal for investigating while we're actually out there later in the night doing our investigation. So this could take a few hours. Mm-hmm. We're really thorough right. in how we do things, and we don't just run in there and just start, you go this way, I'll go this way. No, we really want to get good base readings, and we really spend a lot of our time, maybe even just the first entire night, depending on how big the property is, making sure that everything's accurate. We have great, base readings, and that's basically how everything starts with me, and then we go on from there.
Okay.
Yeah, and we really try to tighten it up, too, because... like I said, we used to start and there was a lot of hanging around while we were figuring out whatever and doing the reading. Now it's pretty much Ron and I will get there and Bill will start with, all the baseline stuff. And while he's doing that, Ron and I are still walking the property and we're figuring out, okay, we're going to want a camera here. We're going to want to focus our EVP session in here. Or for some reason we want to deal here or we don't want to go in this room, whatever. So we already have a plan. And once we have a plan in place, generally, Bill is done, or he has a good part of everything done before we can proceed and move on. So that works pretty well. Ron and I always seem to be on the same page with how we're supposed to operate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you guys do certain types of investigations that you focus on that make up the bulk of the investigations you do, correct?
I'm sorry?
You guys focus on certain types of investigation that make up the bulks of investigation to do. Is that correct?
Do you guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you guys, do a lot of private residences or?
There's no specific thing that really dominates for us. To be honest, maybe we're too picky, but we've been very picky with what kind of investigations we undertake. Mm-hmm. We're not one of those groups that say, we have an investigation Monday and then we have a Wednesday and Friday. We try to really focus on what we're doing. We do the research before we go there. We really analyze the evidence. We write up our report. We go over it again. We try to see if that makes sense. Sometimes we cross-reference stuff. So a lot of times it takes us, 3 weeks to a month to actually get everything done, solid, finished investigation. That being said, we formed Alpha late October of 2008. And as of late 2009, I've been on board with GHI. So mm-hmm. we kind of put a lot of the investigations on the back burner to a point. We don't have a ton of them under our belt, but what we've experienced overall in our careers, we can say that it's been a lot of residences and it's been a lot of historical sites, which is mostly what we focus on.
What exactly was it that, started you guys on this path? What was, did you guys have a, have a have something occur, you know, see a ghost, you know, any one specific thing, and please don't say because you saw a television show.
Ron, you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, my interest started way back, probably back in, like, 88, 89. I was about 6 or 7. I saw my first, quote-unquote, ghost apparition, and that kind of what helped spur my interest. You know, I started reading books and magazines about paranormal, ghosts, spirits, cryptozoology, stuff like that. And then I'm involved with the former group that Sky and I were in back in 2004, and it's been like that ever since.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
Sorry, guys. I just need to reset real quick. Sorry for interrupting you like that, but apparently we got to do this thing now. Anyways, you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio with Rick and Karen, and tonight we're talking to Alpha Ghost Team. Sorry, proceed.
Go on.
OMG. Oh, my God. No, that's my Bill, go ahead, man.
Right.
Yeah, well, in terms of how everything got started with me, I can't say I really had like a beginning. I never had that one personal experience that that really got me interested. And I guess that's kind of what keeps me well-grounded, and I know a lot of people can actually relate to that are outside of the field. You know, it actually makes things a little easier for me to talk to people you know, in terms of that. But basically, you know, I've always had an interest in it. I grew up in a family that wasn't that weren't skeptical or believers, so it was really just kind of keep your mind open about things. And I know I read quite a few books and stuff about the paranormal, and then I actually met up with Ron and Scott when they first formed Alpha over at Florida State University, which is where it was actually during my freshman year there. And the rest just took off because I really liked the knowledge that the guys had, and I figured I'd be able to learn a lot from them. And
excellent.
You know, about a year later, after being one of their trackers / street team members, they finally took me as part of the group.
Very good.
Yeah, and very cool. That's a testament to Bill, too, because as you guys probably know, it's very difficult to find. I mean, we're not out looking for experts because there are no experts, but it's very difficult to find somebody. You know, people staff their group with a bunch of people, but when it comes to investigation day, oh, so-and-so can't because their child is doing this, or they're working, or they're busy, or they have a date, or whatever. Bottom line is, Bill was dedicated. Bill knew pretty much nothing about paranormal other than he was interested in it. And that was good enough for us because he proved himself. He was dedicated. He was basically, excuse me, but like up our butt for everything we needed. He was there. And that went a long way for us. We're like, okay, you know, there's something with this guy, that's cool. And, you know, two years later, whatever, he's, like, really, really important part of the group. And then myself, to how I got into it, basically, no, it wasn't a TV show, but I was...
That was meant as a joke, guys.
Yeah, no. But I'm kind of on there. But my family never believed in anything. And they basically thought I was, you know, oh, grow up, you know, there's nothing there, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just always wanted to know why, you know, if you're so convinced that nothing is there, prove to me that there isn't something there, because right now I'm very interested in it. And I've always been, from a very, very young age, I mean, like, single digits, into horror movies and horror and all that junk. Mm-hmm. And I just thought supernatural, paranormal, all that stuff was really, really cool. So my parents divorced when I was pretty young, and when my dad would bring me into Long Island to visit him on the weekend, the Amityville Horror House was there. And we used to pass Amityville, Long Island all the time. And they actually took me down that block several times. I've been to Amityville Horror House before. And I just, even if they said it was a hoax or things went crazy or whatever, to me, I know, and I'll never forget this, I was on the street several times, at least two or three times.
On Ocean Avenue?
Nice Rich Avenue, whatever. You get to that block, there's a stillness on that street.
Really?
It's like time stopped. It's heavy. There's something off about that place. So to me, as people always, you always have these people that are doubting Amityville Horror and doing all this stuff. I believe personally that stuff happened there. I think it was blown out of proportion by the media and TVs and movies and everything. But I do believe something happened there that was not normal, to the extent of what, I couldn't really answer that. I'm not an expert by any means, but it was interesting enough to fuel my desire of the paranormal. I just got into it and never was in a group until I moved to Tallahassee in 2004, North Florida. Heard about this group, never heard about a group anywhere else, so talked to them a little bit, joined up, learned a lot of stuff, learned what, again, what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where Ron and I clicked right away, but it got to the point we really needed this group. We were trying to learn what we had. And it was very weird. The tides changed. We got to the point where we really started feeling like the group needed us more than we needed the group, and we were ready to grow and go in different directions. So we decided that we wanted to, you know, take our research in a whole different direction. And that's how we really got into stuff.
Got it.
Excellent.
So one of the cases that you guys talk about as one of the most exciting places is the old jail in St. Augustine. And it seems like a lot of jails and prisons seem to be rather exciting places for a paranormal investigator. What do you think that's about?
I just personally think that there's so... in learning more and more about these places, especially since we've done a ton of them with GHI, the living conditions were horrendous. A lot of times these people were subjected to inhumane treatment. Less than, you know, rats or mice would be subjected to. Either little or no food. It's possible that they could have 100 plus people crammed into a tiny, tiny little room that you wouldn't think of putting more than 4 or 5 people in. Sanitary practices were bad, everything else. There's so much negative emotion expelled in these places that I believe that a lot of this energy becomes trapped in the walls. And a lot of, you know, also a lot of these, a lot of these cells or whatnot, especially the older ones, they're construct themselves, whatever they're made of, whether sandstone or anything else like that, a lot of that retains energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's very, very possible. I mean, not possible, we've experienced it, so it's probable that this stuff does occur there. And I don't know if it's higher doses, but I think the conditions are more ideal for something some kind of either a residual or just a strong energy, whether positive or negative, there's an energy that remains present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, with prisons, I remember, you know, when I was a little kid visiting my uncle, he was incarcerated at Statesville with, you know, Joliet. And, and it's definitely true. You just walk into like one of these gigantic prisons or penitentiaries and you can almost feel it's palpable. It's evident that kind of negative energy. So it really is no wonder that. And, you know, any place that experiences negativity or high emotions would retain that kind of energy or playback or even spirits for that matter.
Absolutely. And like I said, I know for a fact that I'm a better investigator than I was. I think I've grown over the years, but I think even working with GHI has really brought me to that other level. Because just being over international and just seeing how everyone does their stuff and having some of the equipment that we don't have, but being privy to some of these stories and some of these locations that have never seen almost, you know, any human contact for years, it really puts things into focus for you. But, you know, that being said, I do believe that I've grown because I am much more in tune to myself and in tune to my surroundings.
Right.
I was not able to, and I'll be the first one to admit, I was not able to ever walk into a room. You know, you hang out with people that have done this for 20 years, they walk into a room and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm sick. It's like, oh, God, really? Seriously? Stop it. But
I think that anybody who's been involved with this, you know, for 20 years, you know, myself included, I really honestly think that we would be a little bit more discreet than that. So it's been my experience.
You know what I'm talking about? Some people are so out and oh my God.
And oh yeah, they come out of left field.
I do believe that. Though I believe now when I walk into a place for some reason, like give you an example, we were in, I think it was Honduras, and we were just walking around doing our thing, and I kind of broke off from the group. I'm like, Barry, for some reason, I want to do an EVP in this room, an EVP session. I can't tell you why. There's just something about it. It's just the energy. And everyone respects each other. Everyone's like, okay, go do your thing. So I've learned that already. I've learned that I can feel that I can totally feel the energy in a room. I can feel the thickness in a room.
Yeah.
I mean, there's points when I can walk into a room, and it doesn't happen a lot, but it has happened, where I almost feel like a slight current going through my body.
Yeah.
And I've never felt that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's part of that fight or flight thing.
It might be, because I spoke to Barry recently, and I said, Barry, I don't consider myself a psychic by any means, but I've been starting to really experience more stuff and feel more stuff. Is that normal, whatever? And he mentioned something, which, again, I'm not familiar with, but something about the skin, and the skin actually either being a sensor for things or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty interesting. Again, that's something else that has opened up to me. Now I want to research that. I didn't mm-hmm. even know about that. Now that's something mm-hmm. else. So this is just a constant learning experience, but I'm not BSing. I'm learning what I can, and I'm trying to take certain things that I know from Alpha and bring that over there. I'm trying to bring the stuff that I'm learning with GHI and bring it back to Alpha, and I think it's just a group learning, and it's a really, really rewarding experience.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I want to hear before, we're going to go to break here in about 6 minutes, and last week apparently I made a mistake, and when Cheryl told us to go to break, I told her guest that they could leave then, and I was wrong, and so we had to fill an hour. So I'm not going to do this week, but before we go to break, I wanted you guys to talk a little bit about the old jail in St. Augustine and what you've experienced there.
Ron, you want to do that?
Well, go ahead and tell them what happened to you first.
Well, we were... it was with our former group. We don't even want to dignify them by mentioning them by name. Quite a few steps down. But we were investigating with them, and they were using Ouija boards, and I personally don't care either way about them. But they were using a Ouija board, and they were getting very antagonistic with the spirit. We were in there overnight, and this was probably 6 hours into our investigation. I think it was, we got there 8 p.m., and I think this must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we were doing, you know, we were in the, I think it was general population, Ronald, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were sitting there, and it was lined with booths that almost looked like picnic booths. It was like a table, the chairs were attached to it, you know what I mean, a long bench type of setting. And the two girls in my group, and one of them is in Alpha now, but they were using the Ouija board. They were asking questions, whatever. Founder of that group was yelling it in the air at the top of her lungs. I dare you to, you know, do something. You're being rude. Show us your ear. Show us a sign of your presence. And I was filming them using the Ouija board. I was filming their expressions. I had a video camera. Oh, it was my camera, but it was set to video. So I was filming them, and I had my, you know, I was totally leaning on the table. And when she said that, I kid you not, something grabbed my arm and pulled very hard on me, and I basically fell off the bench. And at that time, Ron was outside of the cell, and he was doing, you know, readings and doing some kind of a temperature sweep or whatever. And he even came over, he's like, what the hell happened? You look like you flew off the bench. Like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I had goosebumps and everything. We actually had that on film. Pretty intense experience. And I've had, you know, maybe one or two with GHI that were physical contact, but not much more than that. But still, it was crazy stuff.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
I guess so.
It really was. Yeah,
there's nothing like that first time when something hits you or
something physically interacts with you. Yeah.
I mean, I've been thrown right on my butt by, you know, something that appeared before me, but. You know,
well,
yeah,
I'm sorry, like Rick. That. I won't do that to you again. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, I hear that we're going to hear some more Tears for Ears. You guys have a couple of EVPs. I know, isn't that awesome? You have a couple of EVPs for us, and we'll see if we can get some questions from the chat room as well. I know that you guys have been asking them in the chat room, and I haven't been asking them here yet. So we'll try to get to that too. So we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio, and we are talking to the Alpha Ghost team. We'll be right back.
Right on.
Hi, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
That you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the ZTalk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas, and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. So when you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
To ZTalk Radio Network.
Well, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. This is Karen Frazier, and I'm here with Rick Hale.
And that's that was the ZTalk Radio Monkey Spank.
I know. I was just going to say she played it just for you because you asked for the Monkey Spank and you got the Monkey Spank. I know. That is so cool. So
that's the Rhesus Monkey.
I know. So, can I finish?
No.
Okay, well,
yeah, please, no, go ahead, finish, Karen, because you're more talented than I could ever possibly be.
I forgot what I was going to say. I'm also older than you'll ever possibly be and subject to middle-aged brain, so there you go. I was just going to say that we are back with our guests, the Alpha Ghost team, and they have been talking to us about some of their experiences, and so you want to do the EVPs? Anyone?
Hello? Yeah, love EVPs.
All right. So, Cheryl, do you have... the first EVP was... Cheryl, can you tell them what it says so they can tell us the circumstances of it? Because all I've got is my dog story.
Yeah. Okay. We have two EVPs from Alpha, and they were caught at the Windsor Hotel in Americus, Georgia. And so, I don't know, Scott or Ron or Bill, if you want to set up what was going on when you caught these two EVPs.
Well, go ahead and set it up, Scott, since you were doing the recordings.
We were in the dining room, and when we originally had the tour around the place, some of the claims were that the kitchen, dishes were upending themselves, things were just being thrown around, pots were being thrown across the room and all that stuff. And it was pretty loud when we got there. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a chef, so we went into the kitchen and I was figuring if I could, you know, unplug certain things. And then there were certain pieces of equipment that we just couldn't touch, but they were so loud that we knew that they would impede our EVP session. So we decided to hold the session in the dining room, and to compensate for not being in the kitchen, we set up two motion detectors. Well, we were in the kitchen, and we were in the dining room, and they were the motion detectors set up in the kitchen, and we just started doing an EVP session, and we were not moving, and it was just us, and it was the one of the place was there as well, and we were just sitting there. And we just started asking questions, anyone here, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And we heard a hey, and we heard a help as stuff went on. And that was one of the first times that I caught a really clear EVP, so I was really excited. And at that time, I was really stripped down with the equipment I was using. It was nothing. I had, like, no audio filtering programs or anything. But we caught the EVPs. We had digital recorders running, and we had analog recorder running, tape recorder. And the EVPs did not register on the digital recorder, but they did imprint themselves on the analog recorder. So I thought it was pretty interesting. When I brought it to Lacey, our alpha manager, she had all these filtering programs, and she was actually able to import the tape recording onto digital media. Mm-hmm. And when she did that, she cleaned it up. And I was so focused on hey and help. She's like, no, you have to hear this. There's another one. This was, we really had to clean this up, but it said someone injured me. It kind of freaked us out because we were already getting familiar with the stories of the Windsor. Like I said, we had been there several times already. And we were familiar with the history and what had been going on there and everything else. And apparently not far from the dining room, there's an elevator and, Ryan, can you help me out the history behind this a little bit with the elevator shaft?
Yeah, the story behind the elevator shaft was that they had a kitchen helper that was actually pushed down the elevator shaft and she fell to her death. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting that we got an EVP that said someone injured me around that vicinity.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
So that kind of substantiated some of our story. Now, that someone injured me, we didn't bring forward because it's not as clear. We figured it would lose a lot of clarity, especially over the way we're broadcasting today and everything else.
Right.
But we know that a lot of haze can sound like sleeves, whatever. So you want to hear more than the monosyllabic words that come through. However, we know what was going on. And we were sitting there, and these were pretty clear. They kind of jumped out at us, and then, we always say with photos, photos you don't want to clean up, and EVPs you do want to clean up, pretty much. So we cleaned up this EVP as much as we could. And it sounds really good.
Okay. All right. Cheryl, you ready to play it?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I have two here. Which one should I play first?
Hey.
Okay, sorry. Here we go. It's really quick. I'm going to turn up the master sound volume so everybody can be prepared for that. All right.
It sounds like
a very long drawn out whisper.
Like, we heard that. That was pretty. It was like.
So would this be an EVP or a disembodied voice?
We just think it was an EVP.
EVP, okay. Got it. Well, let me play it again. You want me to play it again real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what's pretty interesting with this is they were, we pretty much minimized all the external audible stimuli and there was nothing going on. And just the fact that that registered in direct response to our questions was pretty impressive for us. You know, we usually like when that happens, rather than just pulling something arbitrarily out of a 1 hour recording.
Yeah.
So that we thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah,
very, very cool EVP.
Okay, do you want to do it one more time just for Gott's anime fever so he can...
Sure, let's do it one more time.
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
I got it. I hear it. I definitely hear it.
Totally.
It just to me, though, it sounds
we
like...
We try to look into different, you know, layers of things, and now even learning more with GHI, I'm really trying to dissect that and pull that apart, but that's a voice. And you can definitely tell the difference between a voice and a sound and a brush of a sleeve or a pant leg or anything else. So that is a sound.
Well, you can definitely hear the timbre behind it. So, definitely a vocalization.
Yep, definitely. Okay, so let's listen to the other one.
Okay, you ready to go?
Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
That one is... That one's more breathy, but if you hear that and you have headphones on, you can actually hear the puh sound at the end. You can hear the H. You can hear all the enunciation of it pretty clearly.
Yeah, I definitely heard help.
Yeah, when I first got these recordings, I was using bare minimal headphones and, like I said, no audio programs, and those two still jumped out of me. I didn't hear the last one. But when I cleaned it up and I heard it clearly, it's much more, I could tell it was something. I couldn't really make out what it was. And with the decent headphones and with everything else, it was pretty clear it was.
Okay, let's listen to it again and see if I can get it this time. It's right at the end?
It's a drawn out ethereal sound.
Okay, I'll listen.
That's kind of freaky.
Kind of goes, help! Okay, I got it. Yeah.
And again, we don't like to bring forward everything and just label places haunted. We're really skeptical about doing that. But that taken in conjunction with all the other stuff that we had experienced during that time, as well as in the past, leads us to believe that location is in fact haunted. There's quite a few things that go on in that place.
Cool. I like places like that. Okay. All right. So, tell you what. Since we've got Cheryl up with the player, why don't you play that EVP one more time, and then we can have some tears for our ears.
Awesome. Let's play the EVP first. Here we go.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so Tears for Ears, what's the song we're going to be listening to, this lovely Tears for Ears song?
It's Numb from Linkin Park. I just want to mention one thing. Someone said if you need to clean them, don't use them. Pretty much agree with that with EVPs. But like I said, you know, anytime anyone brings something forward, it's subjective. Like I get a ton of stuff sent to me from different groups or different people. Can you check this out? It's an EVP or it's a picture. Bottom line is, you know the conditions that you were in when the EVP transpired or the picture was caught. So you are the best gauge of what's going on. To me, I can say, well, to me it looks like whatever, or to me it sounds like whatever, but where were you? What was going on? Same thing with the picture someone sent me. Okay, it looks good. Did you have an IR light? Were you standing in front of it? Was it casting a light on you? Was it back shadow? Was someone coming through the window? Was someone in another room? Was there another low-lux camera somewhere projecting something? All this different stuff is into play, and I don't know what it is. So, like I said, we don't present a lot of evidence with Alpha, and I was actually told quite a while ago from Rob that we might be too critical with things, which is maybe the case, but we feel like we'd rather be safe than sorry. We know what was going on. We know how tightly controlled these environmental conditions were while we were doing stuff. And then, again, if we're able to substantiate and build on what we find with multiple pieces of different evidence that corroborate with each other, then we feel comfortable bringing that forward. You know, we would not necessarily bring an EVP that to be honest, an untrained ear would probably have a lot of difficulty hearing. And, you know, we mm-hmm. play from, okay, no, it says help. No, I don't hear it. No, no, listen, it says help. Oh, okay, it says help. We don't like doing mm-hmm. that. We'll bring stuff forward and say, do you hear anything? Yeah, maybe I hear something. I can't tell what it is. Okay, well, we believe it says help. And that makes sense because we've researched blah, 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 blah. And when that happened, this also went on. We like to do that and compound a lot of the different findings for everybody, and then we can present a more stronger report, a more stronger analysis of the actual location.
Okay, got it. Excellent. So let's talk a little more about evidence after we listen to your beautiful, beautiful song. And it's a Linkin Park song, and what is it? It's Numb?
Numb.
Yes, it's Numb.
Can't wait. Here we go.
Tired of being what you want me to be. Feeling so faithless, lost under the surface.
This sounds good so far.
I don't know what you're expecting of me. But under the pressure of walking in your shoes.
Oh my goodness, you guys, I have to tell you something. I am really, really glad that you have a fallback position.
We love this stuff, and we actually have some planned. Bill's home right now for school's on break, so he gets back beginning of January. But we actually ordered the hats and everything, but we're doing a Devo song. We're doing Freedom of Choice, which should be awesome. Hmm. And then we're going to do Kings of Leon, You Somebody.
Oh, awesome. Like, there you go.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of, like, what else, Bill? Have you got anything else?
Wait, I have to ask you something. You're giving me the impression that you actually practice for this.
We do practice for it. It's awesome.
Our thing is this,
I don't like when you go to a karaoke place and people get up there and they sing and they sound good. What is the point of doing karaoke? You know, go get signed to a label or go on American Idol or something. My thing is that I have one of the worst voices known to mankind. Why waste it by not doing karaoke?
You know what? That's a great attitude.
It's the perfect karaoke voice.
I have a good karaoke voice as well. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we should work out a duet. I'll head back east. And, you know, I could use a little sunshine anyway. We can sing a duet.
I will tell you guys this, if you check my Facebook page, I think it's GHI's, Scott, I think it's on that one, go down a little bit, but I posted videos. I had a birthday over in Puerto Rico, they had a karaoke party for me, and this was done, a week ago. Barry Fitzgerald and I sing "You Two Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." That's karaoke, that's on there. Mm. And then Paul Bradford and myself sing Lady Gaga, Poker Face, and Bad Romance.
Nice.
It's all on it.
Very
cool. Yeah, you might want to check them out. They're awesome. So much as they make fun of me, they had a blast.
So, you guys need to do? I've got an idea. This is it for Ghost Hunters International. Glee Hunters International.
Glee Hunters International.
Nice.
Thank you.
we need more cowbell, apparently, too.
Bruce Dickinson told you so?
He's got a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell, baby. That's right. That's my absolute favorite Saturday Night Live sketch, is the more cowbell. So, it makes me happy. I had a really bad week last week, and one of my friends sent me more cowbell, and it got a little better after that. There you go. So let's get back to evidence a little bit. So tell me what you've, with your team, that you really feel is something worthwhile that you can hang your hat on.
Right.
Well, we've gotten several pictures. I personally took them. I got a few shots of ectoplasm. Scott got his EVPs, as well as the plethora of evidence he's gotten overseas. But like Scott said, our evidence is, not 10 billion pictures of orbs, not 10 billion pictures of shadows that are nothing. We always try to distill it to its purest form, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the people always ask us what's the most important piece of equipment that we use and everything else. Mine is basically, I tell everyone, a pen and a pad, because you have to write every single thing that transpires down.
Yes.
You're not going to remember. Chances are, if you have a long investigation, you're not going to, let's be honest, you're not going to investigate the next day. You know, it'd be a couple days to invest or whatever. So you don't want to forget any single detail.
Sure.
If you have a weird, an anomalous photo or something that shows up audibly and you want to know what the hell's going on, you can refer back to all that and then, brainstorm, okay, what was going on here? Before we jump to conclusions, this and this was going on, so this was possible. And you go through all those scenarios before you feel comfortable with actually coming forward with something. So we try to do that a lot. And the fact that we take copious notes really helps us with evidence review and analysis.
Sure. Okay. Hey, I have Bert Coates on the line. He has a question for you guys. Hey, Bert.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Bert.
How you doing, Bert?
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I gotta start out by saying no disrespect at all. You guys sound really safe and sane. Paranormal group. Kind of the same thing that we do, more or less. But I got a question for you. What is it that you guys do different than everyone else? Instead of following, the herd of sheep, is there anything that you guys do that may be, a little bit different?
The main thing that I know we pride ourselves on as a group, and I'll speak probably for 99% of the groups out there, we don't have any money. We're self-financed. We don't have we can't afford half the stuff that we use on GHI. We just can't afford that. Let's be honest, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we try to really study, practice, and maintain proper procedure when investigating, because that goes a long way. A lot of people, people either on purpose or accidental, they contaminate evidence. They contaminate the investigation scene. They jump to conclusions, and they really cast a negative hue on the whole field as a whole. The whole field suffers from that. So we really try to teach responsible, smart investigating. It's big for us too, because we actually do quite a few conventions, and we've done a lot before I joined GHI, and we. A lot of the groups try to get into these conventions, but we were doing we were kind of playing with the big boys, so to speak, just through the fact that we felt there were so many groups out there. We always tell people that Alpha was formed out of necessity. There was not a proper ghost hunting group in our area. And it was very disheartening to see people, that would actually come to you and ask for help or ask for, explanations or validation of what they've been experiencing, and to be with a group that would say, oh yeah, sure, whatever, and when all was said and done, and they would, the group that we were in, they wouldn't stop bad-mouthing these people, or they'd make fun of them, or they would say, hey guys, all we have to do is say this place is haunted and they'll give us a free weekend at their B&B. That's really, really poor. So we want, there's a lot of times people, you just show up to a house and you say you're Alpha whatever, and they'll just hand you their keys and say, okay, see you later. They put a lot of trust in people. So you really want to make sure that what you're doing is responsible. And right. We really try to teach technique. We really try to say, okay, the people that we have in our group, anyone would be very comfortable with talking to. We're sincere about it. We're upfront about it. And I always tell everyone this, too. It's great to try to be, for bragging rights, to have all the newest equipment and run out and get this and that. But half the people don't know what half of their equipment does and the basic equipment. So I always tell everybody, before you invest in anything, get a normal non-contact thermometer, get a normal EMF meter, or get a decent digital camera, and master that stuff and learn the basics of how that stuff is first. Because people will respect you a lot more if you go to a place and you have two pieces of equipment where you can really run circles around people with those. And if you have 20 or 30 pieces and you're fumbling around in the dark, what the hell is this do, or how does this work, or whatever, that's not impressive to anybody. It's damaging. You're not there for show. You're there to investigate, to help people out. And a lot of people get away from that. A lot of people really, you know, I always credit Ghost Hunters with, like, the original Ghost Hunters. I'm really grateful that that show came out, because if you're into the field as we were, you feel ostracized, you feel like a freak, because you're into some weird field that people are like, okay, yeah, you want to be an astronaut too, or
yeah,
you want
right.
to be a carnival clown. But, so Ghost Hunters kind of brought it all to the forefront, which was good, because now it kind of legitimized it. But at the same time, it had all these groups calling out of the woodworks now. Everyone would see Ghost Hunters, and I always say the same thing, I mean, every interview I ever do, but, you know, people would watch Ghost Hunters on Wednesday, and then Thursday they'd have their own group, and it was a half-assed group on MySpace page, and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And then people look at these, like, are you kidding me? So then the handful of legitimate groups, and I will say there's a handful of legitimate groups scattered amongst these 10,000-odd groups that are out there, they get lost in a shuffle. And that was our problem as well, is we're like, we're you know, we're good, we're better than this stuff. Why are we feeling like we're being lost in a shuffle with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
But I think being true to yourself and being true to your goal and your mission statement, it's very important for a group to have a mission statement, not to put up on a website, but to not lose focus on a daily basis of what you really gathered for. So you focus on that, you police each other, you watch each other, and you build as an organization, and people respect that. And I think we bring a sense of legitimacy to the field that, as Ron, I think, mentioned this in an article that we did for PU Magazine in November, we kind of jumped in when we felt that the paranormal field as a whole kind of flatlined. And it really needed to be jump-started in the right direction. Because most of the, you know, when the dust settles and all these shows are canceled and everything, 95% of these groups will disappear the very next day. Guarantee it.
The ones
that are real and serious about it will stay on. And it's important to just keep what you're doing. And a lot of people tell me, how can we get, you know, doing what you're doing, how can we do whatever? And I'm flattered that a lot of people, for some reason, put these people on these shows on pedestals as being like the elite almost. But I don't, to a point it's deserved, to a point I just think it's oh my God, they're on TV, that's cool. But I can tell you that we do earn it. I think everyone there honestly really belongs there. And I've met several people. I met the Ghost Lab guys and everyone. They belong there. They're good guys. They're honest guys. They're trying to do what they do, and they're lucky enough to have a TV show that follows them around.
Right.
That being said, there's no reason that you shouldn't conduct yourselves accordingly the same way, just because you will stand out. People will start realizing if there's 20 groups and you're the exact same, but you're acting a certain way better than everyone else, you will totally stand out. It might take a little while, but we always say, you know, it's going to take perseverance. It's going to take, you know, really laughing in the face of adversity and just really, really turning the other cheek to things. Because it takes a lot of inner strength to survive, but and money and everything else. But you will be rewarded if you're really sincerely into it. People will notice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I could not agree more, Scott.
Very good.
I mean, well, very well said.
Yeah. So
thank you, sir.
So real quickly, Bert, you're going to stick around for the lightning round since you're already on the line, right?
Most absolutely.
Yeah, great. Rick's probably going to wind up divorced as a result. Guys, we're in like the last couple minutes and we're going to go to break here, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to give out any information that you wanted to give us, websites, anything like that, anything you got coming up that you'd like us to know about.
The one thing I'll mention, Ron can hit with some of the websites, but I will tell you that we do have Dead Serious Radio, which we started several months ago, and it's on every other Tuesday. And our next show is Tuesday the 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's going to have the Ghost Lab Brothers. They're going to be on. It should be a pretty cool show. 2 weeks after that, on January 11th, I'm so excited. It's totally different, but we're going to have the Insane Clown Posse as our guests.
that's like Jesus coming on to you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's my favorite group ever, and I'm very, very humbled by them actually agreeing to be on. But they're very cool guys. They seem to be into this stuff, and it's going to be a great interview. So I'd love for everyone to check them out.
And where can they find? Where
really,
can they
really
find
nice,
the show?
Really, good guys. And Ron, you want to tell where they can get everything?
Where can they find the show?
They can find the show on Blog Talk Radio. Just search for Dead Serious Radio.
Got it. Okay, very good. Okay, anything
else? You can check us out on Facebook. We're all on Facebook. We have Alpha Ghost Team on Facebook. GHI Scott is on Facebook. You can check us out on Twitter. And I will tell you guys this, too, that we've been doing several contests on Twitter, and I'm going to start doing one probably on Dead Serious Radio this coming week. We have signed GHI postcards of where we've been this past run.
Oh, cool.
They're signed by all six of us.
Cool.
It's signed by every one of the members. If you're interested, we're going to be doing contests on Twitter. There's one ending tonight. And then we're probably going to do a little one on the 28th as well during the show. So if you want your chance to win a GHI signed postcard, definitely have to tune in on the 28th. It's going to be a great show with the Kling Brothers. But we're also going to be giving away signed GHI postcard by everybody. So it should be really good, and we have a lot of stuff going on.
Neat. Nice. Okay. Alpha Ghost Team, thank you so much, guys. It's been
Thanks,
really interesting talking to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Cheryl, are we going to go to break, or are we just going to play our new sponsor?
We can do either, whatever you want to do.
Well, you're the boss. I'm letting you tell me what to do.
Let's do the new sponsor. Let's do our new sponsor. And then we're going to have a special treat for everybody after the new sponsor.
Our new sponsor and then our Christmas spirit gathering. So here
exactly.
We go.
Oh, no. Are your Christmas decorations missing something? Are you tired of competing with the guy across the street over who has the best lights and always falling short? This year, you don't have to worry. With new Extra Strength Butt Dazzle, you can decorate inside and out. You take care of the lights, we'll take care of the shimmer. Extra Strength Butt Dazzle is the revolutionary sparkly red and green decorative candy that lets you eat glitter and shit Christmas. This year, you'll be the envy of all your neighbors. Feed it to your dogs and have them decorate the neighbor's yard.
What the hell happened to our grass?
Play jokes on your friends.
Ooh, is that glittery fudge?
Even give them a stocking stuffers.
Hon, this package from your Aunt Mildred stinks. Do you think she wrapped the cat again?
How much would you expect to pay for all this Christmas cheer? Not $100, not $50, not even $25. No! Extra Strength Butt Dazzle can be yours for only two low, low payments of $9.99. But wait, there's more. If you order now, we'll throw in our special Christmas Vajazzler. That's right, your wife can be Santa's little helper this year with the Sparkly Vajazzler.
Dude, your mom got vajazzled!
And if you act now, we'll also include our special Santa cookie kit. If your gift from Santa last year fell a little bit short, tell him how you really feel with the Extra Strength Butt Dazzle cookie cutters. That's right, you can eat glitter, shit Christmas, and then bake special cookies for Santa. For two low, low payments of only $9.99, call the number on your screen to add a little sparkle to your holidays.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the world in sin and error pined, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees.
Radio Network.
And you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio if you're still with us.
I love that.
Cheryl actually wanted to play it again.
I did. That's classic. You can't get better entertainment than that. Come on.
Yeah, I told her that she could play that at home all she wants between now and Christmas. Or, you know, Cheryl, what I could do is I could call you like at 3 o'clock in the morning tonight. I'll set my alarm and I'll sing it for you. And it'll sound a lot like that.
Hey, that's cool. Well, do that.
Only a girl. I sort of sound like a chick.
Yeah. Well, I apologize.
Cheryl, I have your phone number now, so.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry I gave it to you. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
What I'm talking about. Let's heat things up a little bit.
So Rick, I'd like you to, while we were off the air, you were saying that Bert got you in trouble last week, and I'd like to hear more about that.
It was just a combination of Bert and alcohol and just me acting like a complete and total idiot, so...
I like the idiot, Rick. That's fun. Bring out the idiot, Rick. He's no. fun. Come on. Let's do it. You know you want to say it. Let's do it.
So, you know, Bert, I want to know is...
Bert, I promised.
Call me.
Yes. What I want to know, Bert, is when you hang up, does your wife smack you, or does she say, all right, dude?
No, she's the one writing this stuff down. I'm just reading it.
Oh, so you have writers, Bert.
That's right. We have a staff of writers, 6 cats and a wife that writes it.
That would be your wife, Jamie Coates?
That's correct.
That's right. Well, Jamie can cozy up to the microphone and do the lightning round if she wants to. You know, it's like 2 days before Christmas. And, well, I was telling Rick, I have had a little aperitif tonight. And so I'm hardcore.
Hey, remember to keep the X in Xmas.
The X in Xmas. Oh, you just made people mad.
XXX back in Christmas.
That's right. So, hey, you know, we could do the lightning round now and just sort of see how it goes. What do you think?
Okay, because Jamie's here. She's going to join.
Jamie, are you going to do it too?
Sure.
Okie dokie. All right, so the first one. German researchers have analyzed a human bone that they found in a Siberian cave, and they discovered a new species of human. The 30,000-year-old bone has a different strain of mitochondrial DNA than has ever been found before. So here's what I want to know about this. Now that they've found this, is the universe still only 2,010 years old? And if it is, how did a 30,000-year-old bone wind up in a cave, Bert?
Did you say bone or boner?
Oh my God, and it begins.
And yes. It's just Rick. Like that. Did Jamie write that for you to say?
No, because I got smacked for that one, because I'm going to get Rick in trouble. I'm sorry, Rick.
So is that your answer?
Yeah, that's my answer.
Okay, so Jamie, do you think that the universe is, you know, actually like more than 30,000 years old? The world is more than 30,000 years old, or is it only 2,010 years old?
After listening to those guys butcher Linkin Park, my brain like popped out, I think.
Just ask the boner thing. Just ask about the boner.
I'll just say boner for.
Oh my God. So I know how things go in your house. Okay, so Chad says that he's had beer and he's not doing the lightning round. So we're moving on to. Are you sure Chad doesn't want to do lightning round, Cheryl?
Chad.
Beer Pop is on. The best. Beer is Pop when it, the lightning round gets fun.
I'm going to convince him.
You can. Okay, we'll skip Chad and go to Rick in the meantime.
I think he's coming on. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go to Rick. Rick can answer now.
You know what? Do it, Chad. Anybody who said. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. We doing Chad or
no? No, we're doing Chad. I'm not doing Chad. Yeah, let's all
Chad.
So Rick, your answer would be we could give Chad the thumbs up anyway.
And
Rick,
Chad, you're gonna be hurting in the morning.
I'm gonna give you a toe. I'm not gonna give you a thumb, Chad.
Rick,
we haven't even gotten through the first question.
I know. So Rick, is the universe 2,010 years old, or does the bone move differently?
No, and any of these, you know, like religious groups that say that the world is 6,000 years old or 7,000 years old, they are either they're seriously delusional. The universe is billions and billions of years old.
Billions. You didn't say that right. Billions.
Billions and billions.
There
and,
you, know, you go.
If they're finding 30,000 year old boners. Shut up, Bert. Anyways, if they're finding, you know, it's always been believed that there have been various different kinds of human beings, and you know, it's just like with finding Homo floresiensis down in the South Seas, you know, and they're going to find more, and it's actually going to prove one day that there is, you know, such a thing as Bigfoot.
Sweet. All right. You know what? I got to tell you, Rick, you meandered that beautifully.
Thank you.
That was really nicely done. I'm really impressed by that. Okay, so Chad, did you follow Rick's answer?
Kinda.
Did you say condom?
Yeah.
Yeah, condom. So
30,000-year-old condoms with 30,000-year-old boners.
Oh, yes. I bet that'd be protective. Okay, so yeah. Chad, what do you think about this 30,000-year-old bone?
Well, I actually think the Earth is a lot older than that, and the civilizations that are on the Earth are probably, you know, with the flood and all that stuff. I mean, I just think it's a lot older than what people let on.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So, Cheryl?
I hate following Chad. God, because, like, he says something like that, and then I come on and I say, sure, it could be older.
Last.
Yeah.
It's totally profound.
Sure. You know what? I think we need J.D. Harrison, our resident archaeologist, here tonight to answer this question, but
well, he is not here.
He's not here. Gosh, okay.
He can say boner too.
I think that, yeah, it's possible that we don't really have our timeline quite correct. So that's all I'll say.
Well, my guess is, so here's my prediction for the rest of the lightning round. Every time that I ask a question, Bert is going to shout out boner. That's my prediction. All right, so question number two. The New Zealand military has released hundreds of UFO files dating from 1954 through 2009. And they say that although they've released the files, they have absolutely no intention of investigating any of the claims in the files because there's no manpower to do so. And so they're not going to draw any conclusions, and they are not providing any commentaries. So what I want to know is, do you think that it's significant that a military is actually releasing UFO files, even though there's apparently no information in them, Bert?
I want to know where they're releasing them.
In New Zealand.
Streams, or where are they really releasing them?
Oh, it's like catch and release of UFO files. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
I think so. I would just like to add boner.
Right. Okay. So, Jamie.
Oh, my God.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Something about the military releasing.
The New Zealand military has released UFO files. Do you think it's significant?
No.
No. Okay. Chad, take a sip of beer and give me an answer.
I'm actually all out of beer, but...
Oh, man.
Now he's moving on to whiskey.
Now he's got some salvia. He's lighting up.
Yeah, salvia. I'm right there with Molly Cyrus.
Go on.
Anytime any kind of government or anything releases something like this, I think it's significant.
Okay, very good. And so do you think that the United States will do something similar?
Never.
Okay, so Rick, what do you think about all this?
Well, first off, I don't think we really have to worry about it, because isn't there government and military manned primarily by hobbits in New Zealand?
Yeah.
I mean, Peter Jackson has his way.
My precious. Well,
they do have Gandalf.
No, I do think that it's significant that although they may not be a major world government and a major world player, it's still a government that says, yeah, we know about this. And from what I understand, New Zealand has always been a UFO hotspot. Many researchers consider it a window area. So, yeah, I do think that it's significant.
And there may be a link between the UFOs and hobbits, apparently, huh?
There could be, yes.
And do you notice now that last one we started with a human bone and wound up at Bigfoot, and this time Bert started with UFOs and wound up at hobbits. Or not Bert, Rick.
I want to know, if the hobbits' feet are really, really hairy, then wouldn't their... Ow!
Okay, Bert, don't even...
That was like totally a fake ow.
It was not.
I was going to say, I've heard the ow when Jamie actually whaps him, and it's yeah, it's sharper than that. So Cheryl.
Yeah, I definitely think it's significant because it allows for free investigation for those who would like to do so outside of the government. You know, I don't know what's in the files, but we kind of have to rely on their word that they are releasing the actual documents. But I think any time that happens, it's significant.
Okay, very good. All right, so there's a British woman, and she has been paralyzed from the waist down. Oh, God. So I was telling Rick before the show that when I have Rick and Bert on the show at the same time, I always feel like every single question I ask is just like a minefield. All of a sudden, I write them, and I think, oh, no, there's no way they can possibly interpret it this way. And then as soon as I start to ask them, I know differently. So here's the question. She has been paralyzed from the waist down since 1987. She claims that she was healed by a faith healer, and she can walk now. I just want to know what you think about faith healers, Bert.
You know, I think that it's all in your mind.
Okay, very good.
Boner,
yeah. Jamie?
See, that's why I don't like going after Bert either, because he totally stole my answer.
I'll ask you first next time, okay?
and I won't say the B word.
No, you can come up with something else. There's a few others. There are a few girl words that you could say. Some of them, aren't allowed, but others would be all right. So, Chad.
I think they basically, it's like with prayer, the power of prayer, that we basically have control of, the healing in our own bodies. So,
so we can heal ourselves.
I think if it's a powerful enough suggestion, yes, I think we can.
I will tell you that I tried every way possible when I had that 6-month-long kidney stone to heal myself. A lot of it involved straining over a toilet, but I still tried to heal myself, and I believed I could do it, and it took me 6 months. So, you know, I guess.
But she eventually did it.
I did. And it just took a bunch of big glasses of water. So, Rick, yeah. What do you think?
When it comes to faith healers, great hair, great suits, great pile of BS. Most of these guys have been disproven, and that's even including Benny Hinn. So I really don't think that there's anything to these people.
Okay. All right, Cheryl?
Yes, I definitely think it's possible that she could have been healed by a faith healer, either through her own mind, or maybe they do have some legitimate healing powers.
Okay, very good. All right, so scientists have developed, this is my coolest question, you guys. Scientists have developed a bionic eye. It's a permanent microchip implant that helps the blind to see. So I want to know if you think that the $6 million man is just around the corner, Bert. Stop, Jamie. You're after Jamie. Jamie first.
If the $6 million man is like just around the corner?
Yeah.
Technology.
Totally. Yes. Because we just watched the show on the History Channel. And in Japan, it is incredible what they are doing with the robots over there. And it is totally could be $6 million man. And Jamie Summers too.
Awesome. Yeah. I realized as I asked that I was leaving the bionic woman out of it, but I couldn't remember her name until you just told me. So, okay, Bert, now you can say boner and whatever your real answer is.
You know, the funny thing is Chad and I were just talking about the $6 million man and how he really looks forward to him coming around the corner. Isn't that true? We were just talking about that. The things that you could do with the $6 million man.
Just depends on what you would see first.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so if he walked in the wall, would his nose hit first? And can you automatically trigger that sucker?
Well, he'd probably knock a hole in it first before his nose hit.
Okay, so do you guys want to... So, Chad, does Bert's answer mirror yours? Yes. All right, so Bert and Chad both think that he's going to run into the wall as he comes around the corner. Rick?
I'm just hoping that if this $6 million man does come around, that he will, in fact, fight Sasquatch. That was the best episode of all time.
He did it again. He did it again. Every question, Rick. Very good.
Thank you.
Wow. Rick, what happened to you, man?
I don't know, dude. I'm not feeling it tonight.
I'm just stunned.
I'll come over and I'll help feel it back up. I didn't mean that the way it sounded.
Oh, that's what she said. Yeah. Okay, so Cheryl.
Yeah, I think the $6 million men are already in, already being utilized in the U.S. government. What do you think of that?
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we're waiting for Rob from Night Visions to call in, so I'll do this one last question while we're waiting. Let me see. So last week we talked about awful Christmas gifts. This week I want to know, what was the best Christmas gift you ever got, Jamie? Was it the camera you just got?
Best Christmas present ever, Nikon D90, yes.
Okay, all right, nice. Bert, best Christmas present ever.
Just knowing that you guys are a part of our family. And how often does one really get a chance to talk to such lovely and incredible people? It's like I've been chosen.
You have been chosen, but for what, we're not sure.
And I would just like to end this by saying, I love all of you.
Oh, we love you too, man.
Yeah, Boner. You're pretty good bird boner.
That's right. All right, so is Chad off the phone?
Yeah.
Best Christmas present ever.
Well, it's not so much a Christmas present. It was the look on my kids' faces, like, for their first Christmas together.
Aww.
You must really be drunk.
Very nice. That was really sweet. Is, hey, hey, Cheryl, is
one,
he like...
One more thing.
That was funny, Bert.
Boner, yeah. So, Cheryl, what I want to know is Chad one of those sappy sentimental drunks? Because
God,
one night, I
got to
tell
you,
Jim had this really bad cold, and so he decided that the way he was going to take care of the cold was by drinking two bottles of wine.
Yeah, he's definitely
by the end
a sappy
of the
sentimental
bottle
drunk.
Of wine, he was like, he sat there in his chair and looked at me and cried and said, I just love you so much. So, like, I sat up with him for like 2 hours. Like, I just love you so much.
I think Jim and Chad should hang out because
oh
then that'd be
God.
A love fest.
Okay, so Rick, best Christmas gift ever.
Do you really need to know? He's sleeping right upstairs.
I kind of figured that would be your answer.
Yep.
Okay.
Those bead things.
So Cheryl, best Christmas gift ever.
Well, my first Christmas with Chad is pretty much the best gift I ever had.
Oh my God, you guys are just disgusting. I can't wait till you've been together for like, you know, 10 years and you
nope,
are like,
it'll still be the same.
Never.
It'll still be
her.
So,
God,
hey,
I'm gonna strangle her.
Hey. So we have Rob from Night Views Radio on the line. Rob, what was your best Christmas gift ever?
What was my best Christmas gift ever? I think when I stayed home by myself and did not go visit my family. That was my Christmas present to myself, and I loved it before I was married, of course.
Yeah, very good.
I also have Travis, my co-host, on the line with me. Travis, do you have a favorite Christmas gift?
You can't put it. Oh, actually, I do. Yeah. I got a beagle that suddenly came up and started sniffing my ass when I was about 7 years old. So just the whole surprise
sniffing that you enjoyed. That's I'm confused.
That sounded a little. So was the dog a surprise or was the ass sniffing a surprise?
It was a very touching moment. No, it was actually it was the surprise factor. I hadn't, you know, because let's get real. I searched my parents' house high and low and knew everything I was getting every year. And that dog is the only thing they kept for me. And so it was a surprise factor.
Very good. So, very cool. Hey, guys, happy holidays. Thanks for popping on. You're going to talk about what's going on your show?
Yeah, I just wanted to have everyone stick around, and it's you know, our last show for until Christmas, and usually the show is a lot more lighthearted, a lot more comical, a lot of musicians, celebrity guests. We do have a musician on tonight. His name is Michael Caruso, and he's written a lot of big songs for like Vanessa Williams, Brian McKnight. He's a songwriter, but he's premiering a song tonight that he wrote for his daughter who took her own life 2 years ago.
Right.
And that's basically what we're going to be doing, and we're going to be raising awareness for suicide prevention and helping the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So it's going to be very important. You don't have to donate. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come in and listen, and it'll be very informative. And even through the struggle of this issue, I'm hoping we could still manage to have a good time.
Sure, and that's on about 5 minutes from now right here on Z-Talk Radio, and that's Night Views Radio.
Yes, and all right. Well, thanks, guys. I got to pop out and get the guest on the line, so we appreciate you.
Thanks for checking
come on and live.
Yeah, thanks for popping in. Thanks. Okay, guys, well, I guess it's up to us to wrap up, and, you know, Rob is premiering a really nice, serious song, and it sort of makes me feel a little guilty about our world premiere songs tonight. So,
you know, for every tear, you need to laugh at them. That's where
exactly.
Laugh. If somebody's just totally falling apart, point and laugh. It'll brighten your day.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I came on tonight and I asked Rick and Cheryl. I was in a foul mood before the show, and hey, I'm okay now. So, Rick, who's our guest next week? Because I know it's somebody that is one of your cronies.
Yeah, on next week's guest is going to be Vicky Gorski Eichel. I can never pronounce her last name correctly. She co-hosted with me a couple weeks ago, and she's going to be telling us how it is to investigate the paranormal as a psychic, as well as using, you know, scientific equipment. So,
all right,
and she also has a really interesting take on the whole 2012 paradigm. So
I'm looking forward to that. So yeah. Okay. So that's next Thursday night here on ztalkradio.com. And until then, this is Paranormal Underground on ztalkradio.com. Bert, Jamie, Chad, Cheryl, Rick. I hope you guys have a good Christmas.
Happy holidays, everyone.
All right. Cheryl, play us out.
Woohoo.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.